You have just entered the Katie Ma Podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 308 of the KB Mod Podcast. It is January 21st, 2018, and I am joined by our two lovely cast members, KD Zen and Yingity Yang.
Hello.
He's on his phone.
I'm not on my phone. I'm actually fixing a Remembrance Day poppy. I'm not kidding.
Oh my. Ying multitasking during the cast already.
Well, I apologize. I judged you too quickly, and I was just really out of line there. I'm sorry, sir.
Please fix your poppy, because I know that's going to bug you.
Yes.
But right. how have you guys been doing? I missed last week, so I did listen to the cast. You guys managed to mostly keep things on the rails, you know?
It was a good one.
Yeah. Had Sham on. We hadn't had Sham on in a while, but he was a good addition. Always love having him.
He was always fun to have on. Yeah. He killed it. And Tim surprisingly pulled it out. I don't know from where. but I'm just kidding. No, Tim is great.
Yeah.
Although he's got some questionable opinions. Tim is like a rare case where he's another KB Mod member that is into the occasional weeb garbage. What sucks is that sometimes we have differing opinions, which can be a little stress inducing, not going to lie. Kind of lost my composure a little bit when he started talking shit about Nier Automata.
Ooh.
Pulled together.
Yeah, generally getting two people with strong opinions on anime, that can be explosive.
That's a video game, Brandon. It's not an anime.
I know it's not. I know it's a video game, but I'm saying it might. You just said weeb garbage. So all right, let me restate. I was trying to be nicer to that community. But if you have two people who have strong opinions on weeb garbage,
that can be
explosive. All right?
You're right. That's true. What about you, Brandon? What's been happening with you?
It's been busy, kind of kicking off the start to the year. I just had stuff going on, you know. Last night had a birthday party. Like, it's just been, I've been doing a lot of stuff in the city, which I live like an hour outside of the city, so it's kind of it kind of takes a toll on you, going back and forth more than I already do go back and forth for work. But it's been fun. There's just been a lot of things going on. I've been trying to pick up guitar again. So,
oh yeah, I saw you. I saw Rocksmith on your like recently played.
Yeah. So I have a guitar. Like, I played a little bit in high school, and I took lessons and stuff, but I was never very good. I didn't practice enough. Like, I've had fun, but also I was playing too many video games, basically. I didn't practice enough, and I didn't keep going with it. So my guitar was at my parents' house, and I was like, you know, I'd really like to try and get back into it. So over Christmas, I took my guitar home, you know, here to the West Coast, and started, but like, I didn't have any of the other stuff that I needed, because I play electric guitar, so like, you need an amp. And you just need like some basic stuff. I've been slowly getting back into playing guitar, but I was like, you know, I need to get my fundamentals down, right? I'm not just going to pick it up and start, you know, jamming Master of Puppets or something.
So, right, yeah. the one solo.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah, exactly. So I hopping into, just shortcutting into what I've been playing, because these are kind of the same thing. I've been, you know, playing a little bit on my guitar, but I was like, I didn't really want to buy an amp yet, because like, I'm gonna move to a new house soon, and I was like, amps are heavy, they're big, I don't want one more thing to move. So I was like, what can I do to get, you know, like, to learn but still have like some good sound? And I realized, oh, Rocksmith, like, I've heard of this before, came out a few years ago. I was like, all right, I'll give this a try. So it's pretty neat. Like, you plug in a real guitar to your PC, and like, you basically play. It's not, I mean, it feels a little bit like Guitar Hero, but not really. But like, the interface is all right. The only thing I don't love is their selection of songs is like kind of, I don't know, not great in my opinion. Like they don't really have any metal songs. They don't they have like some pop songs. They have like a Jackson 5 song. Like, that's not really what I come to Rocksmith for.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
who is trying to learn guitar so they can play Jackson 5? So their music selection is not the greatest. But outside of that, it's been fun. Like they sort of like start you out with like just a sampling of the notes you play in the song, and then as it thinks you get better, like if you do better on those, it sort of ratchets you up to playing more of the notes in the song. So it's kind of neat. It's like as you progress and get better, it just gives you more notes to play until you're eventually playing the full song. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is a pretty neat system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember trying it out a while ago, and I made the mistake of, for some reason, I tried it on PC, and I was using my shitty $30 Walmart electric guitar.
Mm-hmm.
May it bless its heart. It's hidden in its case behind a bunch of shit to the left of me. And for some reason, it the cable didn't work on PC, so I ended up using it on like PS3 for a bit. And it was fun. It's just I can't really play guitar because of I have like a fused bone in my wrist where I can't really rotate my wrist all the way. So I can't like hit certain notes without really straining my arm. So, but from what the little I played, it was pretty cool. So
yeah, it's a pretty neat little thing. Like the fact that it combines using a real guitar and actually playing that real guitar, and then just like it can decipher the notes that you're playing, and you know, like it's got a built-in tuner and stuff. Just like the fact that I think it's a really neat idea, and the execution is pretty good. So, So I mean, I've been enjoying that, and it was $60, and I think 50 of that pretty much was this like custom cable that plugs from the guitar into a USB port. So you know, I guess it's not super cheap. And they have DLC for buying more songs, which I don't really plan on doing that, but. But yeah, so that's kind of been one of the things I've been doing, is like trying to spend some time practicing and getting better at guitar. You know, which is tough because that's just one more thing you're trying to fit in the day. And so it's like, do I play video games? Do I practice guitar? Do I, you know, the adult prioritization. And also right. I did end up just like deciding to buy an amp, and so that's behind me now. So, you know, that's been my past couple weeks. I want to hear what you guys have been doing before I talk about what else I've been playing. I've been playing a little bit of things.
Oh, cool.
But what have you guys been up to this week?
Nothing too crazy. Just a few little things. A lot of my IRL friends have been getting into Magic the Gathering, which of course spurs myself to get back into Magic the Gathering because I remember like first couple years of college, I was getting into it because everyone was playing Magic at college. And then I tried like, hey guys, we should all play Magic. It's actually really fun. No one gave a shit. Now it's like, oh my God, David, you play Magic? Like, all right, buddy. All right. I see how
I feel like Magic kind of goes in waves. It's sometimes it seems like it's the flavor of the month, and then people like, especially when Hearthstone came out, I felt like there was sort of a resurgence in people wanting to play Magic because they were like, oh, Hearthstone, right. that's like kiddie RNG stuff, and so they were like playing Magic because that's like the hardcore game,
real man's game, real man's card game,
the real man's collectible card game.
Which, as I'm sitting, I have two decks. I have one that's like a pre-built, like black and white deck, and I have a bunch of cards like from a long time ago. And actually sitting down to build a deck in person after building a deck in Hearthstone is a bitch. Like, you're making so many different stacks of instances and creatures and trying to sort them, and it's so much easier through like an electronic way. But I mean, that's such an odd complaint to have. It's not even a complaint, really, but it's...
Isn't there... I don't know how well it works. Last I heard was that the interface is very janky and it's not very easy to use, but is there not some sort of computer version of Magic the Gathering?
Yes, yeah. It's, there's Magic on Steam. I haven't played it myself, but from what I understand, it's actually getting worse with every version they release.
I've heard pretty mixed things about that.
Right. Yeah, like sometimes.
Yeah, no, I have not heard good things, but I was wondering if either of you had any experience with it.
Oh no, I never picked it up. I've been tempted. It might be something I get on like sale, because if I remember correctly, it's something that you actually build the deck yourself, which.
Okay.
I mean, is appealing to me since you didn't have to try for like packs or anything like that. It's not like, you know, you have to put in the digital card code you get with your booster packs or whatever. But one thing that I feel like they do, which is kind of, and I'm not sure they do it in the game on Steam, but I know for like the official like Magic tournaments, you can only play with like the most recent sets of cards, which I think is kind of, but I'm not sure if that's how it is on Steam. Which, I mean, speaking of which, that's why everyone's getting back into, because I think a new set just came out a couple days ago, and so they're all going crazy. But, okay. Yeah, I've thought about it. I don't really know if it's not really something I want to put in an insane amount of time into, you know.
I was going to say, it sounds like a good way to spend all that money you're making at your nice, cushy new job.
Oh, no, I've got far better uses for that money than this card game I'll never play. I mean, I'm just happy with my pre-built deck, and then I'll wreck with that, I guess. I'll do what I can. But sitting down and trying to think of, like, I suck at card games. I suck at Hearthstone. Like, and building a deck and thinking about, like, end game and balancing, like, you know, costs and shit is, I'm terrible at it. And it's just something I don't want to put a lot of time into, and I could be like improving at other things, like, I, you know, mainly being video games.
Like, I'd rather. Katie?
No.
Katie,
no.
You know what I feel like you actually, this may be like, this is different. I'm not going to take up too much time with this, but last time we were on the cast together, we talked about trying to get you into playing Counter-Strike a little bit more. And I realized, I think what's more accessible is you and I should play Wingman. You seen that? It's a 2v2
game. No, I haven't seen that.
It has its own ranking system. It's essentially the same game mode. It's just a 2v2 system. And we could hop into that together, and we could work on your CSGO talent.
Oh, so that's like a playlist on CSGO, is Wingman?
Yes.
Okay. I thought that was like a game on Steam.
No, it's a 2v2 game mode in Counter-Strike.
Okay.
That sounds cool. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it has its own ranking system. It's easy to hop into because you just need one other person. I think that's where we need to go.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
I'll play some Wingman with you.
I'll probably get incredibly tilted.
No, it's fun. Well, see, this will be easier because it's easier to manage between you and I. You're not having to worry about three other people.
Right,
and
exactly.
And you only have to think about two other enemies. You'll be good. You got this.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I play I really got into Battle Right with some friends of mine, which is like 2v2, 3v3. And I tried really getting back into League before the season started up, and then it just got to the point where I don't like how you control in that game. Just, and I know that's never going to change. And then also, like, 5v5, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how well you do unless you, like, really, really carry. Because if your teammates are bad, then it's over.
Right.
So, yeah, that's... So what I'm thinking is the next big thing I'm going to sink a lot of time into, and I'll talk more about this when we talk about what we've been playing, but Dragon Ball FighterZ is something that I really
want
to...
Right, and I do
want
to hear your opinions on that.
On that. Yeah, I'll definitely talk about that. But, other than that, oh, yeah, I also got a new controller. I was kind of fiddling with it while I was talking. But upon recommendation from KBMod's own Hexadecimal, hold it up to the camera here for audio listeners. This is the SF30 Pro from 8-Bit Do. It's like a Bluetooth SNES controller with two joysticks on it. It's got RT and... RB and RT, like, you know, bumpers and triggers, and like the sticks click in. It's kind of like an Xbox or a PS4 controller in the shape of a SNES controller, and it's pretty good. I recommend it. Absolutely.
Oh, it looks nice.
Great controller. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But been having a real swell time trying to get it to connect. It's just not working. Because it's Bluetooth, and I can't find my shitty Bluetooth dongle because my computer doesn't have it built in. So I'm like, all right, I'll just plug it in. It's not working. So that'll be the next 2 hours for me after the cast is trying to get this controller to work.
Living that dongle life.
Yeah, the dongle life.
What have you been up to, Ying?
I've been paying the price for that vacation that I took. Catching up on work. I mean, I knew it was going to happen. It's the punishment of having a full-time job, where if you take time off, it just, you know, it doesn't go away. You just got to deal with it in condensed days once you return. So it's been a busy past couple of weeks, or a past week for me. But in between that, I've been doing my very best to try to watch as much of the E-League Counter-Strike Major that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And which has been, I mean, it's been an awesome major. I don't know how much anyone else has been watching it, but there's all these. It's interesting because they've included the qualifiers, like this whole extra round of teams trying to qualify for the playoffs at the beginning of the major stream. And there's all these like young players, all these new names that people aren't very familiar with that have just been showing up and it's been upset after upset. All these old names like Fnatic and Virtus Pro. Virtus Pro has been somewhat of a tragic story this major. They just got eliminated today. And I think this is the first major that they won't be in the finals for in 11 majors, some crazy streak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been kind of a tragic story for them to watch them play and fall. And anyways, it's been a dramatic major. It's been really good. It still has a long way to go, but I've been watching that as much as I can. And between that, it's just been work and maybe a couple of video games here and there. I've been trying to play. It's maybe I played the most Counter-Strike I have in a while. That's not been the competitive mode, because I don't know, whenever like a major comes on or you see like a lot of these high skill teams, it makes me wish I was that good or somewhere close to that. And of course I'm nowhere near it, but just kind of inspires me to get back into like a deathmatch or something to be like, maybe one day, but of course not. So a little bit of Counter-Strike, been watching Counter-Strike more than anything, but, and then outside of that, just catching up on this stupid vacation that I took. I mean, I had a great time, but now I'm just paying for it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, have we been eating anything interesting? I will go first. I've had some pretty good meals over the past couple of weeks. But specifically one of the interesting ones was this like Hawaiian inspired place. Ooh. It's a pretty nice restaurant in San Francisco that I had never been to before. And it's like Hawaiian sort of inspired food. And one of the dishes, they had some really good dishes. One of the things they had was they had a starter that was poke. And so my mom didn't know what poke was, but it's like sushi. I don't know how it differs from normal sushi, but it's like, it's good sushi. But it was on like a seaweed cracker. And you just basically like ate the whole thing at once, and just all the flavors were just so good together.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah. Mm. So I could have just eaten that for the dinner. But then they had some other really good stuff. And one of the things I was surprised that I liked as much as I did was they make their own homemade spam. Because spam's kind of like a big thing in Hawaii.
Really?
And so they made spam fried rice. And it was awesome, like really good. So that's something that I would never make at home. It's like I wouldn't put together fried rice and like normal spam, but their like this homemade spam was really really good.
Right.
And so it was like a really good meal and kind of a place that I wouldn't have expected to like as much as I did. Okay. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, you had me interested. I'm literally looking up images of Hawaiian poke now, and it looks incredible. Like, yeah. This is all I want to eat right now.
Absolutely. Like, some of those dishes are really good, and I don't have them that often, because it's, like, kind of a specific thing. Ooh. But yeah, so if any of you come to the Bay Area, we can go have some poke and spam fried rice.
Okay. I'll take you up on that for TwitchCon, baby.
What about you guys?
Just enjoying the usual great home cooking from a talented family of chefs.
Man, you really like just putting the screws to us there.
Doing what?
Just you like rubbing it in. That you just oh, like oh, no, I'm not oh, trying the, to rub the it usual in. The usual gourmet meals. at no, the KBZN household.
My long ancient line of famous chefs.
So you could talk about like artisan Hawaiian food and I say good home cooking. Okay, D, really rubbing it in. Mr. Big Shot.
No, I just love that that's, you know, like that's your norm. Your norm is just like fantastic food. So you're not even sure what to talk about because you just have this smorgasbord of delicious meals.
We're talking better than Red Lobster every single night. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, that's actually...
I can't say I'm just kidding.
Better than Red Lobster every single night is actually a pretty high bar.
Yeah.
Red Lobster is not like something I crave or anything. But if you're consistently getting better than Red Lobster every meal, that's pretty good. Like, you're eating pretty well.
Yeah, that might have been an exaggeration. But, I mean, it's been some really good food. Last night, my dad tried making these... he tried doing his take on like Steak and Shake Frisco melts, and he did two patties, and he had this really good kind of Thousand Island dressing mix, and that was delicious. Tonight he did like a Mississippi pot roast, which is like a chuck roast. He put on some like ranch dressing mix, like some pepperoncini peppers, and I think it was like 8 hours of slow cooking. And that was delicious.
When is he going to pass down the cooking responsibilities to you?
Hey, we are trying, and I am terrible. Well, I'm talking, I'll be in the kitchen trying to, because that is something I've definitely been thinking about. Like, you know what? I would really love to cook at the same level as him, so I might as well get this knowledge from him, you know, while I can. And I'll be like in the kitchen. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start off pretty simple. I've got this 67-cent noodle meal that I'll go ahead and it actually is a big step up for me because it doesn't involve the microwave. It involves the oven, which is huge for me, I promise you. So, you know, I get the water boiling. I don't put in the noodles yet. That's a rookie mistake. But boys, let me tell you, I turn my back for 5 seconds and I put in milk in the water too. That's what the recipe called for. And I look away for 3 seconds. I turn back. Milk is like pouring onto the stovetop. Thankfully, we have like a modern kind of stove where it's all a flat surface, and so you can't really fall in any like cracks or anywhere. And I'm freaking out. I don't even know how to handle the situation. And my brother comes in. He saves the fucking day. I actually learned a lot because he turned everything off. He actually poured Mountain Dew onto the milk, which kind of frees it up, and he just let it kind of sit for a bit, wiped it up, didn't let it dry, which, I mean, at the end of the day, learning experience, but it really just reinforced. I mean, you know what? You're right. Seth in chat saying it takes time to practice, which I absolutely agree with. I just need a lot of practice.
Katie, based on your experience trying to boil some noodles, I really want you to live stream this.
No, I'm talking like I'll be like stirring spaghetti as it cooks, and I'll have like two oven mitts on. And it's like one time he was doing like a shrimp and like Korean beef kind of bowl, and he is putting on the shrimp. And he's like, no, I was putting in the shrimp, and it came time for me to flip the shrimp on the I don't know what it's called, but whatever it's cooking on, and I was like flipping out. I was like the little the grease that would pop up and like hit your hand would just burn the shit out of your hand. In reality, it's not painful at all. It's just a little bit of heat. But for me, big pussy boy over here, I'm freaking out. And I'm like, this is too painful. I'm struggling so much. And I watch my dad do it. He's just effortlessly flipping the shrimp. He's hacking. Vac ban.
He's hacking.
Well, I mean, at least the thing is, if you're going to learn, at least you're learning in a setting where you do have people who can save you from like the milk falling down in the oven and stuff. Right. If you're trying to do that on your own, you're liable to get someone killed.
I'm fairly certain if I did that when I was home alone, the house would be on fire. There's not a question about it.
So you gotta start slow, you know, and you gotta build your way up there.
You're right. I gotta focus on it. Yeah, that's what I really want to build on. You know, we talked about a little bit before we started the cast about New Year's resolutions. And getting better at cooking is something that's definitely a goal. Another great goal for me is to be able to lift a female, because look at these skinny little arms. They're not doing anything. That's kind of my
specific benchmark. What the heck?
Listen,
Do you have a specific female in mind? I mean, you could.
That's not the question we're
answering. I'm sure you could lift a small child regardless of your.
A small child. Okay. We're talking. Well, let's just move on. I said too much.
All right.
I mean, hey, look, it's your resolution. I don't need to get involved, but
I try to say things as just witty little jokes, and they just get botched.
I'm looking for a little more specificity. I mean, I think you've piqued everyone's interest here. That I would say phrasing your resolution in that specific way. Some people say they want to work out. Some people, you know, say they want to build muscle. You say I want to be able to lift a female.
Lift a female. That's so much more funny than it sounds, because I literally have the checklist like in a doc on my like phone to look at. Be like, you know what? I need this reminder. I have it like next to, you know, a bunch of, you know, learn more Japanese, stream more often, lift a female. It's just, all right, maybe I need to rethink that one. Maybe be a little more detailed.
Is it
female
is
dog? It, yeah, I'd lift a I'd lift Chelsea.
Is it just so you can sweep her off her feet?
Yes.
Okay. I see where you're coming from.
It sounds like he wants to like bench press her off her feet.
Sweep her off her feet, man. And then bench press her. That's actually his resolution. He's gonna put it on his Snapchat.
I would sweep her off her feet, and then my ankles would actually break a little bit.
Because I'm only imagining you like lifting her up and dropping her like those competitive heavyweight lifters just from above your head.
That has happened.
Yeah,
that
nothing in the resolution implies that he cares about this female's safety.
No, not at all. I need to change it to at least safely raise a female.
I think you probably if it's gonna be actionable, you need some more parameters around a goal like that.
Right. People talk about going to therapy for some deep issues. I just need to walk into the office with my doc open of my resolutions, and she'll just see he or she, whatever the therapist is, will see lift a female and be like, all right, we have a lot of work to be done. Please take a seat.
And that's probably not even the most concerning thing on that list.
Yeah, there's much. What's this about? Dick growth? No.
Whoa.
All right.
That's last year's resolution.
It says here you want to pick a paper off of the floor with no, you can skip that.
All right, KD, what have you been playing non-resolution related?
Yeah. PG-13 for once. Let me see. I actually did a little notepad of what I've been playing, so don't forget. So I talked about it a little bit a few minutes ago, but I did finally, after much trial and error, I got to play the Dragon Ball FighterZ beta.
Yeah,
that was out of the open beta. That was actually incredible. Playing that and going online, it was very well populated being an open beta. And this is coming after, like, before the beta went live, I was so hyped to play it. I was like, you know what? I'll play any fighting game. Look at this. Gamer Appreciation Day at Family Video. Walk in and get a free game rental. I go in, I get a Marvel versus Capcom Infinite. You know, listen, Marvel versus Capcom, huge in the fighting game world. It's got to be a banger. That is one of the most disappointing games I've ever played. That game is just a game I actively dislike, Marvel Infinite. There is so little care put into that game. And I know it's a small complaint, but just the UI really enforces that. Like, everything is so plain. You look at Marvel 3, you've got personality everywhere. You look at the jump from Marvel 2 to 3, it's humongous. I mean, of course, going from 2D to 3D is going to be a huge jump no matter what you do. But I was thinking, you know, after years and years between games, there'd be a huge, jump. It is the most blatant, let's take Marvel 3 and try to redo it, but make it look worse. And take out characters that people like and replace them with characters that not many people care about. It's just there's a shorter roster. I don't want to make this a huge rant about Marvel Infinite, but going from Marvel Infinite into Dragon Ball FighterZ was amazing. Now, context, I've never seen an episode of Dragon Ball in my life, although I want to after playing this. Going into, you don't really need to know anything, but there's a ton of fan service if you love the show. For example, depending on who fills your team and your opponent's team, the intro or the outro movies for the fights will like change to recreate scenes from the show in the engine. and they're like painstakingly created, which brings up the game just looks fucking incredible. If you've ever seen Guilty Gear, it's always been something where like, oh, this looks 2D. Wait, this is actually 3D models. And it's always been that's definitely been the best looking fighting game has been Guilty Gear so far, until Dragon Ball FighterZ came out. And you just have to look at some gameplay, like really any match of that game, you just watch and you look at the characters and the detail in the environment, the particles everywhere. It's just a beautiful, stunning game. Going from gameplay, it's very well balanced where it's very accessible, where you do have that one button mash combo you can do. And there is the Gatling combo from Guilty Gear, just, you know, light punch, medium punch, you know, like in order like that. You can do that and you can work with the moves that you have, but everything works and feels so well to where it's, you get the feel of a fighting game. Also, it's not just get one hit and then confirm that into an infinite like Marvel is. You don't get that. It's been very well meticulously designed to be fair and give you a lot of options, including you have a vanish move you can do. If you hit triangle and circle at the same time, you actually vanish and reappear behind the opponent at the cost of 1 meter. It does things where if you hold down two buttons, you can charge your meter, and that actually raises exponentially really fast of how much you can charge your meter, which kind of rewards you for your opponent letting you get in a charge instead of like one constant speed. It's just a bunch of little things, and it's just been a very fun experience. And the online, you know, better for worse, is it's despite all the crashing it's had, which I'm hoping that won't be an issue in the full game, it's been a very fun experience online. And there've actually been a few people that I played against, and I'd message them, you know, good game. They'd be like, yeah, good game to you too. Did you pre-order? I'll add you and we'll play after that. So I have like three people added that we're going to run it back when the game comes out.
Remarkably friendly.
Right? Exactly. I was expecting, shut up, little bitch, you spammed Frieza. No, none of that. And, oh, that reminds me, after playing that, I was like, you know what? Everyone's going to be hype about Guilty Gear now after playing Dragon Ball Z. I'm going to load in that bit. I put in Guilty Gear. I go online, ready to I did a video on Twitter about this, but I'm online at Guilty Gear. I hit on, lobby mode. Everyone goes crazy about the way the lobbies work in Guilty Gear on PS4. I go in there. I look in the servers. The way it's set up is that it won't automatically put you into a server with somebody. You have to go out of your way and browse every server available to find populated rooms.
Great.
I was able to find one room on the East Coast that was 14 players. Everything else was empty. I go, it was about 12 on the West Coast. Japan, which I thought, you know, it's Guilty Gear. It's kind of niche. Maybe it's popular. 20 players. Okay, cool. You know what? Yeah. Maybe everybody's playing ranked. I jump on ranked. I've got every single search parameter on the highest amount. Any connection, any console, any location. One guy in ranked.
Oh.
Fought him once. He was garbage. I am not. It was just very sad, which makes me happy because like Dragon Ball FighterZ FighterZ. I keep changing the title, but it's something that I'm excited to put a lot of time into because it's. I'm excited for people to get their hands on this because you get that Guilty Gear quality that was always there for you. But now everybody's going to play it because they, it's Dragon Ball. People are going to be hype about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear that you like it that much when you're not like a Dragon Ball fan.
Yeah. It's just, I can really appreciate the style of the game. And also it's just a very, very fun and functional and fighting, a really good fun and functional fighting game. And like another thing too, pulling off special moves in that game. It's just incredibly satisfying in a way that you don't really feel from other fighting games. Because when you, if you kill a character, because it's 3v3, and if you kill a character with a super, as it transitions with rotating in a new character, sometimes it will the stage will change. Like the guy will fly off, explode into the mountain, and then it'll go to the rubble of that mountain. Or if you kill them with like a spirit bomb, the earth will explode and it'll go back in, and there'll be lava everywhere. The fight will still be going. It's just incredible spectacle. Cool. Also, yeah, it's just watch any footage of that game and you'll think, damn, like this is beautiful. So it comes out in 5 days, and I'm so excited. I can't wait to play it.
Cool.
But yeah, let me see. Other than that, I did finish Wolfenstein 2 a couple days ago.
Nice.
Did either of you finish it? Yeah.
Yeah, I finished it before you started playing, so I'm...
Oh, right.
But I don't think... I'm pretty sure Brandon hasn't finished it.
I have not finished it yet.
Oh, okay.
I am looking forward to finishing it.
Right.
But I've been conflicted.
Gotcha.
With other priorities trying to play, which I will talk about in a moment. But
gotcha.
How did you like it? Without any spoilers.
Yes, no spoilers at all. I won't talk about the ending, which as much as I want to talk about the ending. But it's I didn't think they could do it. I didn't think they could make a game more batshit crazy than the first Wolfenstein. But they did it. Yeah. That there are multiple times where your jaw just hits the fucking floor with this game. It's so well made. What am I trying to say? I get so excited I can't speak. I love all the characters. The gameplay is just so... It's a game that understands like first-person shooters very well, giving you all these options, giving you the objective of, you know, the commanders that you need to take out, but of course you don't have to do that. And the game even tells you, you can just ignore this. If you'd rather just, you know, set off the alarm and kill as many Nazis as you want, so you can do this. And it's very well made. I was very happy with it. And it's very, very enjoyable. Without spoiling anything or going into detail, it's a very essentially enjoyable game. Hugely. Okay, I'm gonna stop. It's good.
You liked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. It's not without its problems. It's got problems. I think the game is way too difficult, especially early on.
Yeah. I think we both agree on that.
Yeah, we talked about that for sure. Yeah, so the first couple levels are very tough. There are some rooms later on also that are real ball busters. And what else? They still didn't fix the weapon switching from the first game. Weapon switching is still a very clumsy thing to do.
Yeah.
Once you try doing dual wielding stuff,
mm-hmm.
which like trying to use the weapon wheel on PC is a very laborious task.
Yeah,
especially
pretty
when
clunky.
You
like it basically makes me and also dual wielding, because the weapon wheel is so clunky and dual wielding really is not that useful.
Yeah, because
like you just waste a whole bunch of ammo, so it's like you end up I end up just not using the weapon wheel and just like hitting, you know, 1, 2, 3 for my guns, but then
right,
I forget that I have this the rest of this arsenal that I never really use, because it's like those are on like 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dual wielding especially gets really complicated. Like, I mean, I prefer, I do like having, you know, dual assault rifles if you want, you know, a large amount of damage going out. But it gets really clunky when, so one thing in Wolfenstein 2 that's on the first game is that you can dual wield different weapons at the same time, which it gets very annoying when you're in like a stealth section and you're dual wielding silenced pistols, thinking, yeah, baby. Oh, wait, I've been spotted. And I hit 3, you know, for my assault rifle, and I'm still holding one pistol in the other hand. If I want to switch to my assault rifle, I have to disable dual wielding, go back to my pistol, then hit 3 for the assault rifle again.
Yeah.
And there's just much more time. And the weapon wheel, it doesn't stop time or slow time when you switch weapons, unless you get a really late game upgrade for it. And even then, it's still not worth it. Just hit the number keys. So there are a lot of minor complaints, but
yeah,
overall, it's also very, very painstakingly made game. There's so much detail. There's so much like optional little conversations with other cast members that you'd only see if you hang around a certain area for a really long time, which I love, because it really, if you, you know, it's cool.
That's one of the reasons it's taken me a while to get through the game, because I feel like there's so much dialogue that you only experience if you just kind of sit and wait around. Like, especially, I think there's a lot of kind of funny dialogue when you're sneaking up on, you know, a pair of Nazi soldiers or something. Like, some of their conversations are really funny, or just really interesting in the context of the game's story.
Yeah,
but
right.
You kind of have to sit there sometimes for like 30 seconds or a minute to hear their whole conversation. And it's like, you don't really know when it's done. you want to get through that part of the level, but I find myself sort of sitting around waiting to see if there's any dialogue. And then, you know, if you do that throughout the whole game, you could easily add like 30 minutes to an hour on if you were just like blowing through it.
Exactly. Yeah. But I can, like, you'll hear Nasi talking about, like, you know, with the main villain of the game, like, you know, it's really only one guy killing everybody. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Which I love. But yeah, Wolfenstein 2, just thrilling from start to finish. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, but I gotta finish it up so that we can talk offline about.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
About the story.
Just don't alt tab or your game will crash every single time. Thanks. But yeah, other than that, I've been continuing my Last of Us replay through, which still an excellent game, and been playing Tricky Towers. I don't know if you guys remember that game we played at LAN.
Yeah, it's like a party game.
Yes. Oh yeah, it's. I love it because of how
frustrating. What got you into that game again?
Well, it was part of the KB Mod Cup, and yeah.
You already practicing for next Extra Life?
Oh, I'm practicing. it's pretty funny. We actually got everyone in the house to play it, which
really
was pretty cool. You know, I can't remember the last time us as a family played video games together, which is an incredible notion.
Yeah, that's
but,
cool.
It worked out. Yeah, but there was a lot of screaming. It's a very upsetting game. But yeah, it's fun. I tried going online. There are two people. Which is pretty sad for me. But it's still pretty fun. Definitely a good party game.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I'm definitely gonna I'll be going for rank one and I'll be dominating next year. Don't worry.
Rank one of three. Yeah.
Of three. Exactly. Exactly. Well, yeah, cool. That's me.
I'll go real quick because I haven't finished Wolfenstein, but that's been because I've been trying to learn guitar and trying to like balance playing games and practicing and stuff. And then also I decided to pick up They Are Billions, especially after hearing Ying talk about it and watching some Twitch streams. I was just like, I have to get this game. So I started playing. And I wasn't sure which difficulty to start on because the difficulty is kind of multifaceted. You can either change the number of days you have to survive, where longer, like surviving more days is easier because the end of the game is like, you know, a massive horde. So having more time to prepare is a lower difficulty. And then you can also change the number of zombies that are on the map. And so you can sort of change those things separately, and then you get to a sort of a difficulty percentage based on that. So I can't remember what I started on, but it was like I didn't know what to do, and it was like my first game, and so I started a little too high, and then I restarted and put it. I want to say I was on like maybe 22% or something.
Yeah, that's usually where people will start.
Yeah, and so you know, so I was learning the game, and you kind of like it actually ended up being at some points it was like a little bit challenging in the early game, but then in the late game it was so easy. Like I was actually just right. I was sitting, I had like full tech stack, everything, stone walls everywhere. Like I had everything upgraded. I had done pretty much everything you need to do. And I actually had so much upkeep that like it was, I couldn't really expand anymore because I didn't have enough time to expand out, and get a bigger army, before the last wave. So I actually was just literally sitting, like I had cleared the map of zombies. I was sitting,
wow,
just waiting for the big hordes to come because I was like, this right. is, you know, I've done everything I can do. But so I finally, like, I got my first win. But man, those games take a while. Like, the one thing I would kind of like is if they had a, like, if they
time
allowed
compression.
You to speed up time. Because, granted, like, if you're on harder difficulties, you will never do that. But on the lower difficulties, especially if you're, you know, if you find a tactic that works really well, and you've basically doubled down on that tactic, like you just kind of sit there and you wait, either for your gold or for the next horde or for something else. So I do hope they put in time compression, because that was actually the one thing sort of turning me off from playing it, was I know I think I'm going to win, but I just have to sit here and literally wait. And so I was like, I was tabbing out and like checking Twitter and stuff while it was just playing in the background.
Right.
But I'm sure, I mean, I think for an early access game, I think it's really good. Like, it is, it's a really good experience for what it is, and they don't even have the campaign yet. It's like, it's not a finished game. So I'm looking forward to, now that I've played one game, and I'm sure that I played really inefficiently, I'm looking forward to trying, like, to up the difficulty a little bit, and I'll probably try and up the difficulty first by the lowering the number of days, because that at least will make the game shorter, and, you know, so I can, if I'm going to lose, I'll lose more quickly. But it's been, I've been having a lot of fun with that, when I get a chance to play it, and it is an easy game to pick up and sort of like put down, because you just save your state and it's all single player. So there's, you know, it's no online component really.
Right.
So that's been fun. And that's why I haven't finished Wolfenstein, because I have to pick between finishing Wolfenstein or playing They Are Billions. And,
right.
And so I've been wanting to play They Are Billions more than finishing Wolfenstein, but yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. I think a little bit of PUBG. I played a handful of games of Hearthstone, because they've been giving out free packs and stuff. But yeah, hopefully They Are Billions. I want to try and like unlock, you know, the new maps and stuff, which requires beating it on a higher difficulty. So that's my next step.
Cool.
Okay. Cool. Ying?
I haven't been playing a whole lot. As I said before, a little bit of Counter-Strike. The thing that I guess is the most different is, I don't know what inspired me. Maybe it was They Are Billions, but I went back and I've started replaying an RTS that I played when I must have been 8 or 9. And I'm going back to it now because there's an HD remaster version of it on Steam. I've been playing Stronghold. Okay. Stronghold HD.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone...
They remastered that for Steam?
Yeah, and it's great. It works. It's a really good rendition. And it is, I've been enjoying it so much. It's not complicated. It's not even difficult. But going back and like seeing all like the 2D models of these archers. I mean, if you're not familiar with Stronghold, all it is a castle sim. Like a really simplified castle sim. You have guys that gather stone, you build walls, you have fletchers that build bows, and it's there's a lot of things that need to happen in terms of resource gathering, but none of it's complicated. It's just more like it's a game that I have an emotional attachment to, because it's one of the first RTSs I've ever played. So I've been going back and doing the campaign, like the little campaign that they give you, which is like this hilarious voice acting campaign of you trying to like retake these stolen kingdoms, and it's been more of a trip than actually like really playing a video game, because as I said, it's actually a very simple game. But I've been spending more time doing that than I thought. I thought I was just gonna, you know, download it and I was gonna get maybe an hour out of it and get bored with it, but I've had a lot of fun going back through all these missions and thinking like, oh my god, I remember doing this when I was in grade 4, and you know, having that sort of reliving that experience with this old game that I had forgotten about for a few years. But that's really all it's been. It's been cool. Counter-Strike and then a nostalgic game.
I will admit, I did not know what you're talking about. I thought that was Stranglehold. I was thinking of
Stranglehold.
It was a video game sequel to the John Woo action movie Hard Boiled. And yeah, so I thought I knew what you were talking about. I got really excited.
Memories about that.
Oh, what a game to confuse HD. It with.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a much better game than Stranglehold.
Oh, well, cool. Why don't we hop into some news? Kind of a light news week, but one thing that did kind of shake up the gaming space was Nintendo decided to announce basically cardboard toys.
Yeah, this was a really strange move.
Very strange. Like, could could any company pull this off except Nintendo?
I don't think so. They teased it on Twitter saying, we're going to announce something that will change the way, or it'll be a new way for people to share their experiences, or a new way for people to play. Everyone's like, oh my God, what are they going to do? And I just don't see anyone aside from very small children putting their Nintendo Switch inside like a foot pedal to like step on. Well, not the Switch, but the controller. But I don't know. It's tricky for me to get into.
Yeah, I don't. It's it definitely seems aimed at sort of younger, you know, younger kids. But I don't know. I mean, given that it's Nintendo, like people seem to go crazy for whatever they do. This is one of those things where like it seems like a neat idea. Like I mean, it's very creative. It looks interesting, but this is just like not a thing I would be into. Like it makes for a kind of a weird dichotomy when you have some stuff like this and then like you put Doom on the Switch too. Like what is the Switch supposed to be? Like, is this a gaming machine, or is this like we're gonna make cardboard stuff and we're gonna, you know, I don't know. The Switch, it's like I don't really know what it's for. Is it for gaming? Is it for this? What do you do with this?
You know,
are people really going to buy cardboard?
I think the worst case scenario for this is just a harmless addition to it. It might be, you know, a bad investment by Nintendo, but I think the Switch as a console is still a good choice based on what I played with it.
It's just interesting to me that they seem to be going in so many different directions with the Switch. That's like,
right,
you're getting sort of some more hardcore type games, right? Doom is like a game that I don't think ever would have been on the Wii or Wii U, but they put it on the Switch. So like, you know, they're kind of making a case for being more of a gaming machine. But then this seems very much aimed at sort of the, like that casual Wii crowd, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But it looks
interesting. I don't know that any company aside from Nintendo in the game space could sell cardboard at the price they're going to sell cardboard for.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think the article is citing that some American retailers are listing the robot kit, and I assume that means there's just different kits of different designs. The robot kit is being listed by some retailers at US dollars $79.99, so an $80 kit cardboard.
Oh, Nintendo. I will say one thing though. I can't see in chat is talking about, you know, how our kids are going to damage this, you know, so easily. Nintendo did say that they will, if you have any damaged parts for your Nintendo Labo, they'll switch it out for free. Which I think is a good move,
because it's cardboard.
Yeah,
they'll send you some cardboard.
Yeah, probably not too big of an investment for them to replace.
Yeah, I mean, that's that. But I can. That's why I think like it seems more geared toward kids, because especially if they'll like replace the cardboard for free, then yeah, as a parent, I'd be probably way more comfortable doing these little, you know, having my child turn their Switch into a little motorcycle thing. When if that was plastic and it breaks, well, there's $80 down the drain. But if it's $80 and it's like just a cardboard thing, if they break it, but you can replace the cardboard for free or for really cheap, then, you know, that makes a lot more sense.
Exactly. I can understand that.
Yeah. So it's just that, but that's also why it just doesn't seem like something that is geared toward adults at all. Like, I don't want to own something that's cardboard. Cardboard is like, I mean, I get Amazon packages, like cardboard is throwaway stuff, but for children, I could see where cardboard, the point is that it is kind of throwaway stuff, because like if it gets damaged or whatever, then no harm, no foul. Like, hopefully you're just not damaging the Switch itself. But interesting stuff. You know, I don't think anyone expected this.
It's certainly a unique
announcement. Yeah, it's like Nintendo, you truly never know what Nintendo is going to announce. when they hold these conferences. Yeah, so Nintendo Labo or Labo. Next up, we have some PUBG news, because gotta have some PUBG news.
Oh, absolutely. You don't say.
Apparently, the hot topic with PUBG has been cheating, which is apparently rampant. I haven't personally seen it in the games that I've been in, but I have heard that it is a big problem. And I know especially like streamers, you know, seem to encounter cheaters very often. PUBG is apparently going to ban 100,000 cheaters in one wave. And they've already banned, what was the number? I don't remember. It was like, I want to say like a million or 2 million cheaters.
Oh, okay.
It was like some pretty crazy amount.
It was 1.5 million cheaters.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, so it sounds like they're taking it pretty seriously, and banning 100,000 cheaters in a single wave is, man, it's like, that's a lot. A lot of games don't even sell 100,000 copies. So, yeah. this gives you an idea of, like, I guess the scale of the problem, that they have so many cheaters. And I mean, the thing is too, 100,000 cheaters, and it's a $30 game. Like, that is so much money being spent just in the cheating market.
Right. That really kind of makes you question, you know, you look at the past history of PUBG bans, and you know, people getting banned because a streamer assumes they're cheating, you know, because they killed the streamer. They must be, you know, cheating or, you know, stream sniping or something, and getting banned for that. Because I know that was a problem, you know, early on. I'm not sure how much it is today, but for that many cheaters, it makes you kind of, you can't help but question what is their method of determining who's a cheater.
You know? Well, yeah. I know that they're, at least I was reading in this article, that all their anti-cheat is managed by BattleEye.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently it is an in-game cheat, that, like anti-cheat. It's not as flimsy as it sounded like months ago when it was like, you know, he tracked down someone's Twitter and banned them.
yeah, it seems like they would definitely have to be way more automated than that. And so they've been adding in more report functionality and stuff. And generally devs are pretty reticent to talk about the methods they use for detecting cheaters, because that just gives the cheaters kind of a leg up, because they know what to stop working on and then start working on new stuff, new methods. So, but yeah, it sounds like, I mean, PUBG, just the scale of PUBG, it just continues to amaze me that they have 100,000 plus bans in one instance. And it's like, that is more than the population of most games.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, that's it's definitely very telling about the player base for that game. But it's good to know that PUBG isn't alone in this market. It's got some pretty solid competition, considering our next news piece, which came as quite a shock to me, because I didn't think it was this popular. Fortnite, pretty well-known competitor, has broken 2 million peak concurrent players pretty recently. Which
I did not realize Fortnite had gotten that large. But the other thing, caveat, is that like Epic Games does not... So you have to play Fortnite through the like Epic Games launcher. Epic Games does not publish those numbers anywhere the way Steam does. So there's a small part of me, the conspiracy theorist in me, doesn't quite trust the number that they're touting. Because that is Fortnite is, I mean, it's big, but 2 million concurrent players would make Fortnite larger than every game on Steam that is not PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And I just have a kind of a tough time believing that. But that's just me.
Right.
I trust Steam more because Steam just publishes those numbers publicly. No, most other like services, right? Blizzard doesn't post their Battle.net numbers. Like no other game service really posts the numbers around those player bases. So, I'm a little bit skeptical. But still, right, like, yeah. assuming that number is real, that is wild that Fortnite would be that large. And if anything, it just tells me that we are not done seeing Battle Royale clones by any stretch.
No, we're not. I mean, we're already all with bated breath awaiting the release of PUBG, the Paladins Battle Royale.
Oh, right. Oh, PUBG. Yeah.
Paladins Battlegrounds. I cannot wait for PUBG.
I can't wait for, and this is like pure, I mean, I don't know if hypothetical is the right word, but it's not confirmed, but I'm still holding on to hope that they're working on a Battlefield Battle Royale.
The Frostbite, we talked about this before ad nauseum, yeah. But man, with the Frostbite engines, it's just built for that kind of a game.
I would bet you real money they're already well underway working on some sort of Battle Royale title or mode or something over at EA. There's almost no question.
I sure hope so. Except it's not for Battlefield, it's for Unravel. It's going to be Unravel Battle Royale.
I mean, yeah, their engine already seems like it would be tuned well for Battle Royale style games that have 100 or more people.
So absolutely.
I think that seems like a pretty obvious one. And I would bet we see something at least by E3 around like an EA title that's Battle Royale focused.
Right.
But yeah.
I'm excited. Anything to be excited for.
Yeah. But yeah, Fortnite. I mean, Fortnite is free, so like the Battle Royale portion is free. So the like comparing its player base to PUBG is not exactly fair, because free to play, obviously, it's like easy to get a large player base.
That's true.
But still, I mean, 2 million concurrent players is no joke. So
right.
And they apparently have 40 million players total, which, again, that is no joke either. Like, those are big numbers any way you slice it.
Now, you want to talk about big numbers for players. Mm. Let's talk about this next piece, baby. Ooh. Jesus Christ, I can't
believe it. Banging segues. Okay. Love it. Yeah, so Minecraft. I didn't know the number around Minecraft's active monthly players. But if I just asked you, How many monthly active players do you think Minecraft has? Would you have guessed? What would be your ballpark?
I know the answer, but if I really thought about it, and I think about, you know, we got to include every console, people still playing it. We got to include people still holding on to PC versions today. Although Minecraft, like the general consensus, I think, being that Minecraft has fallen off. Minecraft is not as popular as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably guess around like 10, 15 million.
Yeah. I think that's like, that's a reasonable guess.
Yeah. But the point being
but
that
you'd
it's
be
fallen
wrong.
Off.
You'd be wrong.
Oh boy, would I. Yeah.
Because it is not 15 million. It is not even double that. It is not even quadruple that.
Yeah.
It is 74 million,
oof,
apparently, according to someone on the Minecraft team, Helen Chang, who is the new head of Minecraft at Microsoft.
Oh, what does she know?
She said that they have 74 million players in the month of December, which is their biggest ever, and they have sold 144 million copies of the games across a dozen platforms. So that is,
I believe that.
Yeah, I believe that number, because that's like the all-time number, I believe, is really big. But the monthly active number, if this is to be believed, you have a monthly active player base of nearly half the copies you have sold over all time. Is that?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no other way to take this, right?
Ridiculous.
So I don't. Again, these are like, Microsoft doesn't have some public portal where you can go like see how many people are playing Minecraft, but
yeah,
that is a crazy, crazy number to me that they have that many active players, and it is that, like, it is half of their all the people that have ever bought the game. They're playing monthly. I own Minecraft. I have not played it in years. So, but for every one of me, for every one of me who bought the game and has not played it in years, there is one person who bought it and plays it every month.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is just, those are crazy numbers.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It makes Fortnite and PUBG feel almost pedestrian.
Like chumps. Yeah.
74 million players each month. So that, I guess, that sort of tells you, I guess, why Microsoft bought Minecraft. Because I don't know that they have, well, maybe they've released numbers like this in the past, but I certainly don't remember if they have. So 74 million monthly active users, that starts to make sense why Microsoft would have bought Mojang for what they did. Because you're basically getting this massive install base, and you know they can change the game to start monetizing those users more if they wanted to. Like, you can do a lot of things with 74 million monthly active users.
Oh yeah,
that's crazy stuff. It's
plenty of freedom to try new modes and things like that, because you know people are going to be in on it. You don't have to really convince people, because odds are, I think out of 74 million, a few of them are going to buy it.
Yeah. So Minecraft still in the background, I think, in terms of the public mind share. You know, it's not like everyone's talking about Minecraft day to day.
Right.
But it's just like this silent juggernaut that 74 million people each month are playing.
I wonder how many of those purchased units of Minecraft are their parents' accounts, like kids playing on their parents' accounts back when they used to play Minecraft, and they say, you know what game you'd enjoy that I still have is Minecraft. And now, you know, they've grown up, they didn't play Minecraft for years, but now they have kids, and it's their kids playing on that copy of Minecraft that they purchased.
That's a good point. I mean, Minecraft came out in 2009, so there are plenty of people now who would have had a child after the release of Minecraft, and their child would now be an appropriate age to play Minecraft.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe we're seeing some recycled copies of Minecraft reactivated.
You might be right, because that's the only way I can think about getting to that, like 50% of all of the copies they've ever sold are being played on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
That is just, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
I think more than anything, what they need to do next is work on their integrity for their players, because this is the second time a Minecraft account has been hacked and taken from it. And I just can't stand it. Did I tell you guys about that shit?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, man. Lovely. 74 million scammers out there. All right.
So, well, give us a nice little segue into whatever this news is.
Yeah, this is, I know that no one, it's more, less so about the game, but just the circumstance around it. So there's this game called Yeast 8, which is supposed to be originally stated for release in November of 2017, to which the day before it was supposed to be released, the game was delayed inevitably. With the devs saying, actually, we don't know what we're doing. Everything's messed up. And everyone thought, you know, at the time, this has to do with, you know, them retranslating the entire game. We talked about this a little bit last week as well.
I'm sorry, hold on. Delayed inevitably?
I meant indefinitely.
Delayed indefinitely. The indefinite delay was inevitable in hindsight.
Ooh.
But, okay,
you don't know how right you are. So they come out and say January 30th is the new release date for Yeast on PC, after total silence about the game for the following, you know, 2 months. And earlier this week, the 19th, Yeast comes, NIS America comes out and says, everyone awaiting the PC release, we have a very regrettable announcement. We are once again pushing the release to an as of yet indeterminate date. And they're talking about low frame rate issues, memory leak problems were apparent from the earliest PC builds. We looked into the drawing process, which led to overall improvement in performance, and still encountering frame rate drops in specific circumstances. And they they say that the frame rate issues are heavily reliant on the architecture of the PS4 version and are not existent in PC architecture. And so they talk about how the version was originally envisioned as a port, and we avoided touching the core programming. However, in light of the feedback, we cannot avoid modifying core programming. So they are going for the teardown of this game. But what really makes this sad is that this I understand. Like, I can really, you know, I appreciate it as long as the game is, you know, a proper... They're coming out and saying this isn't going to be a port. We're going to be improving this, you know, for PC, which I'm fine with. But I fucking hate these comments. These comments, these ungrateful fucks. Most recent comment, Yowza, you guys are really bad at your job. Looks like your ineptitude is... Ooh, what is this? Archaeozoic big hole. All right, we're going to pass over that fucking neckbeard. and it's just the amount of ungrateful fucks saying, fuck you, NIS America! You guys act like and probably are kids. And it's just... I just don't understand how people can be so ungrateful for them taking the time to make your game better. It's just stupid.
It sounds like just bad project management that... Like, you would get to the point where you're so close to release and then delay it indefinitely. I mean, this stuff doesn't just crop up overnight.
Right, yeah. So, like, so they knew from day one about these. I mean, they must have known pretty early on about the issues of the architecture.
Yeah.
And rather than tackle that problem, yeah, they just tried everything they could before inevitably saying, that we need to do the teardown. So, yeah, yes. I mean, a great game from the demo that came out a long time ago. But it's just, if you're like me and you're counting the days, you're counting the minutes. And I was promised a review copy, and I was planning on playing it in November, but it's looking like about April at this point. I don't know, but yeah, I just thought that was interesting, and just another example of gamer entitlement that just upsets me.
I mean, as another, we do have someone playing Devil's Advocate in these Steam comments, and I love the line, you'd have to have an IQ under 32 to get all pissy about after these guys stepped up and laid out the exact problems in detail. So we have a lot of people commenting with under an IQ of 32.
That
what
is
a comment.
Yeah, that's, he's a warrior. Let's get him on the podcast. He knows what's like. I can appreciate that. Yeah, and I did see some, you know, intelligent people in the comments, but I found it incredible how many people are just like very, you know, how many people said fuck you NIS America, like they don't owe you shit, buddy. But anyways,
you know who does owe us something?
Oh,
CD Projekt Red.
Yes,
owes us something after that tweet that went viral for no reason. apparently, according to two Polish websites, and if you can't trust Polish news websites, who can you trust? Apparently,
yeah, exactly.
Cyberpunk 2077 will be playable at E3. That is reported.
Yes.
So I think that would spell... Do you think that would spell a 2019 release?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're... sorry, go ahead, Ian.
No, I'm saying that sounds about right. I mean...
Right. They're starting to drum up hype.
Yeah, about a year-ish after they really start to lean into a lot of the media and the marketing for it as a game that is about to be released, sounds about right to me. Especially given like CD Projekt Red's like track history. What they did with The Witcher and how their marketing sort of led into it and how long it took for that game to actually come out once they started teasing more details about it.
Now, do you think the only reason that makes me think they might not put it out in 2019 is, one, they announced this game, you know, 5 years ago and have basically just like sat on it with no updates. And so I could see them taking a little longer and like, you know, having a playable at E3, but still basically saying, you know, we don't know when we're going to release this. And it's based on Cyberpunk 2020. So, like, all the marketing would line up real nicely if it launched in 2020,
which, okay.
Shockingly, as I say that out loud, is only 2 years away.
Oh, goodness.
Time just flies when you're being cucked by Polish devs.
Well, I'll be. I'm looking forward to at least seeing whatever gets played at E3, regardless of when it comes out. I mean, at this point, like, it seems like a cool game. It seems like something I might be interested in, but I'm not holding my breath for the launch, you know, because they've made clear that they're not in any rush.
Right.
But I'm just, all we've really seen so far is just like the, you know, the trailer, which was provocative but doesn't actually tell you anything about the game. We've seen just like sort of drawn artwork, but we don't actually know anything about this game, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What do we know? We know actually nothing. So the fact that it will be playable, like, unless they release something between now and E3 to give us some hint at the type of game it will be, I'm very interested to understand what their vision for the game itself is. Like, what type of game is it? Is it a shooter? Is it massively multiplayer? Is it, you know, they've been pretty cagey about describing the game itself. So I think, I mean, if it is playable at E3, I have to imagine that will be like the thing at E3. That will be the thing people want to know about. That will be the thing people talk about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this is true. I would love to see this. E3 is what, 5 months away? So
yeah, it's coming up. Yeah. So we're not quite sure when Cyberpunk will be released, but we do know. Ooh. That's another juicy segue, baby. We do know when Final Fantasy 15 will be released on PC. It's gonna be coming out on Steam on March 6th, which is pretty soon. A bunch of new features. Called it from day one this baby would make it on PC. And it's finally coming out. So yeah, look forward to that. If you've been waiting to pick it up, it's gonna have all the DLC from the console release and some new features.
I don't wanna do another rant about how pointless recommended system specs are. But if we needed another reminder, recommended system specs are a joke.
Pointless. Yeah.
Recommended right, system yeah. specs. Intel Core i7 7700. Oh, wow.
You're reading the recommended for 4K.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, sure. Like, whatever. Recommended, right? The fact that someone would actually, like, take the time and write this out and then, like, provide it in a press release, which is presumably where PC Gamer got it from. They wrote an i7-7700. Oh, cool. So, like, the second best, you know, consumer processor you can get. Oh, a GPU? Oh, just a 1080 Ti. So, like, the actual, you know, basically the best consumer-grade GPU you can get. Cool.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
You know.
Thanks for letting me know that if I want to play on your recommended 4K settings, that I should just get the absolute best consumer hardware you can buy. Appreciate that.
Right. Makes you really wonder, like, how much actual testing did they do to figure out that that was the key to reach, like,
yeah, exactly.
The best of, you know, what you can get. No one's going to call you on that bluff.
Right. You can never be. That's the great thing about recommended system specs. You can't be wrong when you just suggest the best stuff you can buy.
There's no room for error. Now, if you run it on that PC and you're getting, like, you know, 35 FPS, then there's an issue. Call them on that bullshit.
Yeah, but then that's the greatest part, is they'll say, oh, well, yeah, I mean, the hardware is not there. They don't make hardware that can play this at, you know, at the best settings. But if they did, that's what we would have recommended instead. So they still, like, right. You can't call them on it, because it's literally, you're buying the best stuff. And if it doesn't run well, blame Nvidia. Why haven't they made a better video card? We're trying to be out here displaying in 4K. Nvidia's holding us back. Intel's holding us back. Anyway, recommended system specs are dumb.
They're pretty stupid, yeah.
That sounds like it should be a segment.
All right.
Well, pop us into these new releases here.
Yeah, let's go through these. We've got some good stuff. Our first week of good new releases for 2018. They're finally starting to roll out a bit. So first up is a game being published by Devolver Digital, which seems to consistently put their stake in some pretty polished projects. This is the sequel, not the sequel, sorry. It's the next game from the devs that made Gods Will Be Watching, which is not a game I've played, but...
I have, and it was a lot of fun. Yep.
Okay, cool. So that's their new game. It's called The Red Strings Club. It's a cyberpunk narrative experience about fate and happiness, featuring the use of poetry, bartending, and impersonating people on the phone to take down a corporate conspiracy.
Extensive use of pottery, not poetry.
Pottery? Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, I my brain confused that for a normal phrase. A few of pottery. Okay, interesting.
I mean, I realize that is not a word you generally expect to be in the description of a game, but...
Right, yes. It's cyberpunk and pottery. I don't really see those together. But, it's basically Valhalla, which saw you as a cyberpunk bartender talking to a bunch of anime girls. But in this game, there are no anime girls. It's an important distinction to be made this time.
It does have the popular user-defined tag of nudity.
It does, yes. There is pixelated nudity in the trailer for this game. Mm. Yeah, so there you go.
Very edgy, Devolver.
God, you want to talk about Devolver being edgy? You saw their E3 conference.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was a trip.
Yeah, that was amazing.
The one thing, the games they publish, I absolutely, this is very much in line with that E3 presentation. This looks like a game that will be published by the people that did that E3 presentation.
Yeah, it does. It looks fitting. And it's at a pretty good deal too. It comes out January 22nd, and it's $14.99. And if you pre-order it, which as of right now it unlocks in 12 hours. If you pre-order it, you save 20%. And you get Gods Will Be Watching for free.
That's a good deal.
Pretty good deal.
I'd recommend that. Gods Will Be Watching is a good game. I don't know really how to summarize it. It's sort of like a resource management puzzle game where they put you in all these different situations where you're making sacrifices to try to complete an objective and characters die, and it's difficult, but it's interesting, and I don't really try to explain it. You just have to pre-order the Red Strings Club and get it for free.
Pick it up, yep. All right. Okay, awesome. Yeah, that one looks fun. And our next game is also the second release from a dev studio, this one being Tokyo RPG Factory, which they released I Am Setsuna, which our boy AJ Likes Gaming did a review for. KB Mod a while back when it came out, 2016. And... in less than 2 years for another full RPG to be released, which is a bit sooner than I thought. Their next game, Lost Sphere, is coming out January 23rd. It's going to be $49.99. And, I Am Setsuna, I didn't play it, but it's got mixed reviews on Steam. Looks like a kind of game that had some flaws, maybe played it a bit too safe. So hopefully they learn from those mistakes they made. You know it's a bad sign when their description reads inspired by X game. That's just not classy. You don't want to mention another game in the description for your game. Come on. What are you, indie devs? So yeah, take a look for that. Next up, Subnautica will be leaving early access on January 23rd.
I've seen people playing this game more and more, I guess, maybe in preparation for the official launch.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure they're doling out more content. I'm seeing they have an eye candy update. They've got the cuttlefish update, long awaited, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's what was holding me back, was the exclusion of cuttlefish up until now.
How could you even play a game like this before you have cuttlefish? I mean,
feels empty. Yeah, that's probably my biggest complaint with Dragon Ball FighterZ. There's no cuttlefish. Mm. I think there might have been one in Wolfenstein 2, but I can't confirm or deny.
actually where they hide their Easter eggs. It's you got to find all the cuttlefish hidden in each level. Cuttlefish. It's a collectible.
Ooh, I'd be down for that. Be a fun way to hide it. But yeah, Subnautica will be launching at $24.99, so check that out. I'm one of those people who are scared of the ocean, so I will definitely not be playing this game.
Maybe this is a good opportunity for you to explore that fear, though, in the safety of virtual reality.
In the safety of virtual reality. The most painful way to experience the game. I think I'll pass. Yeah, check that out. And you know, nevertheless, it's highly rated.
Yeah, it's really highly rated.
Yeah. All right, so next up is a game called, I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I think Iconoclasts. It's a weird title.
Yeah, Iconoclasts.
But this game has apparently been in development for 7 years. And it's finally coming out. It's a pixel art 2D action game. And it looks well polished. It's got some great visuals. It's from Joachim Sandberg. He's looking at his other games. He made a couple. Made Noi to Love 2 Devolution. I don't even know what I'm rambling about. I'm just stating the information in front of me. Nobody knows this shit. It looks like a fun, 2D retro pixelated game. It says it's you explore a big world filled with intricate puzzles, interesting characters, and menacing bosses. And it tells a personal story about faith, purpose, and the challenge of helping people. So we're getting deep, baby. So yeah, check that out.
One of the bullet points in the About This Game section says it has hours of nut-twisting platform action adventure.
I am not sold anymore.
I'm not down
for that kind of an experience.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's like, you know, if there's something about nuts in the storyline or if that's just they just kind of threw that in there.
They're referring to the inevitable Rule 34 of the main character.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I just when I was reading through the description, I was like, "Oh, that's an interesting adjective to use there."
Right, nut twisting. I'll have to remember that and incorporate that in the blurb for the website.
Yeah. So,
all right, so check that one out. It looks fun. No word on a price yet, but January 23rd, that comes out. Also, another good looking pixel art game is called Celeste. It's a single-player puzzle platformer from the makers of Towerfall, which is a pretty fun party game. And I have faith in, you know, that dev team. Going off the trailer, it looks like it's got pretty big focus on story. It's being handled pretty well, really well polished. And that comes out January 25th.
Yet another very interesting bullet point.
Yeah.
As you make your way down, you know, you start off with narrative-driven, single-player, fantastic. Massive mountain teeming with 600 plus screens of hardcore platforming. Great. Brutal B-side chapters to unlock. All right. Excellent in audio. And then the last point is just pie.
It just says pie.
And there's no explanation as to what that means. And it, you know what? They even continue like nothing happened because the line continues following that bullet point. The controls are simple and accessible. Simply jump, air dash, and climb. And it moves on with some of the basic mechanics. Mm-hmm. And hanging up there is pie.
Yeah, it's just there, just chilling.
I know, evoking some mystery.
It does, yeah, especially, yeah, when you look at, it kind of does that in the beginning and the end. It starts by saying, help Madeline survive her inner demons. And I'm like, I mean, that definitely doesn't look like something, you know, that deep, but it's very, yeah, mysterious. It ends with like a quote saying, this is it, Madeline, just breathe, you can do this. So they're definitely going for story. Focus in that, so I'm excited. That's always a plus for me, so I've got high hopes. January 25th for Celeste. And lastly, the big boy, January 26th, Dragon Ball FighterZ. Z is releasing. It's on Steam. Not going to be delayed, as far as I know. Beautiful game. Fun game. Cool game. And the final PC specs have been announced. So definitely check that important information out. Jot it down. Build your PC. Get ready for this game that will be dead on PC within the first week.
Now see, these recommended requirements, quite a bit more reasonable. A Radeon 7870 or a GeForce GTX 660 is recommended.
Wow. Oh man, breaking the bank.
Basically, pull out any old gaming rig you've got, and it's good enough.
Take your Nintendo 64, kind of, you know, duct tape it.
Whoa! A DirectX compatible sound card?
Whoa!
Oh, really? Breaking the bank there.
Yeah. I love these bullet points. There's just one thing here that says high-end anime graphics. Something about that just speaks to me. I mean, it's true. It's got some of the most, like, you pause this game anywhere and it looks like it's still out of the anime. Which is
that is pretty cool. High-end
anime graphics sounds like you crafted that sentence.
Yeah, it sounds like I
you would say. We were like, "Katie, what do you think of that graphic novel you're playing?" I was like, "That's some high-end anime graphics."
Yeah, exactly.
It kind of reminds me of Cuphead a little bit, in that when you're watching the gameplay, it kind of looks like you're watching a film. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. You might be watching the anime, but then you're not. You're actually watching, you know, real gameplay footage. So.
Exactly. Yeah,
looks like it does look exactly like Dragon Ball Z, the anime.
Yeah, definitely. And I can't believe people out there think that this and that other game, Xenoverse 2, like, they think that Xenoverse 2 looks better. But obviously, there's, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe it without having it up in front of you, but, like, look at comparison images of, like, the same shots they try to recreate. And there's just so much more love and care put into this game.
Right.
But yeah, all right. Yeah, so
going to Evo this year? You gonna play? You gonna be competing?
I don't know about me going to Evo. I know that Tim is going to Evo. Tim really wants to go hardcore at this game. There's actually a tournament coming up in March in Indiana that Tim is going to be coming down for. So, be excited to meet up with him. So yeah, we're definitely. I really anticipate playing with him for this. But so yeah. But I'll see. I don't know. I mean, hey, going to TwitchCon is one thing. I don't know if I've got the luxury of attending. You know, I got to pick and choose. You know,
that's true.
Fair enough.
Anyways, all right. That's going to do for the
picking
new
and choosing viewer questions. First one from Id Witter. Which game has surprised you the most? Twist in the story, surprisingly more/less enjoyable than you thought, etc.
You know, maybe just because it's relevant, coming off of just finishing it, but I've got to say Wolfenstein 2.
It's not a bad answer. I was just thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's a very, I would say that's like the answer that comes to mind recently. I'm sure there have been other games that have surprised me, but Wolfenstein has some very surprising moments, even for someone who is expecting some amount of surprise, because that's sort of what Wolfenstein is known for.
How far are you, Brandon?
I don't know exactly how far I am in context of the whole game, but I think I'm more than halfway through.
What's the last thing you've done?
We can't get into this. I don't want to accidentally spoil. But needless to say, Wolfenstein 2 has, I would say, quite a few moments that surprise me.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's I feel like that's such an easy answer, though.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I have an answer that was probably easy last year, or like earlier last year, which is Doom. I did not think I was going to enjoy Doom as much as I did. And it just ended up being this its own existence within my game history. And it stands out so much for what I thought was just going to be, you know, a brain dead level shooter. It ended up having all the little things done, executed very well.
Right,
so I'd say Doom. I'd say Doom surprised me because I didn't think I would remember it as much as I do.
Yeah, Doom, I think, surprised a lot of people in that I don't know they were expecting what Doom ended up being. Almost in the same way, like, I don't know that people expected Wolfenstein to be what it ended up being.
Yeah, that. Definitely. I think... talking strictly about gameplay over the next story, when I played Sonic Mania last year, after growing up playing exclusively Sonic on the Genesis, I really wasn't expecting that game to hit me as hard as it did. Like, playing, you know, just like, that game is tailor made for people who like love those games, and it's just filled with like the feeling I got from that game was incredible, and that it was much better than I thought it was going to be, for sure. That's going to be my answer. Be Sonic Mania.
Okay.
Cool. Some good answers there.
I love this next question.
It's... Yeah, this is a good one from Eco Official on Twitter. He asks, "What is your fourth favorite video game?"
Sort of playing off the question we had over the holidays. What is the fourth item on your Christmas list?
I mean, hopefully this is a little less controversial.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so not something you're like ecstatic about, but something that you go back to.
Yeah, this makes me think of like a game you return to every now and then consistently. Yeah. Like it's not always something that it didn't necessarily leave a lasting impact, but you know, every now and then you think back and you're like, yeah, I think I'd like to play that game again.
Right, right. For me, I'd probably go with something like Sonic Adventure 2, because that's a game that I have like huge nostalgia goggles for. But the game has legitimate problems, but I still have so much fun playing it. There's a lot of stuff to do in that game.
I would say my fourth favorite, off the top of my head, probably Portal.
Oh, ooh, that's a good answer.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Because it's like it's not my favorite game of all time, and I don't think it's in my top three. But after the top two or three, I think it's right there.
Okay, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of a game that I come back to, you know, every 6 to 8 months, just because I don't know. And the only thing that's coming to mind right now is Borderlands 2.
Okay.
Borderlands 2 didn't leave an impact on me like it did for a lot of people, but I do find myself replaying that game two or three times over the course of me owning it, which I maybe have had it for 4 years or so. So I'm going to go with Borderlands 2.
Okay, that's a pretty good answer, yeah.
It's a real fun game. I still like to finish it. I think I've started like two or three characters and haven't gone through the entire game, because there's so much content in that game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like it has, I mean, like I'm trying to think of like games that either have some kind of replay value, whether that's like nostalgic, you enjoyed the game, or if the mechanic itself is built into it for you to be able to replay it.
Right, exactly, yeah. That's a good answer. I would love to play some Borderlands 2 with you sometime.
And, yeah, for sure. I'll reinstall that.
Cool.
Next up.
Brandon, do you own Borderlands 2? I don't want to exclude you at all.
I do own Borderlands 2. Actually, it's one of those games that I always meant to play, and I never really got around to getting into it. Like, I think I played maybe an hour of it.
Okay.
But I didn't, like, the first Borderlands, I remember playing in co-op, and it was so much fun.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then Borderlands 2 came out, and I just, like, the timing didn't work out, and, like, I just never had people to play co-op with. And so it was like, I was like, this is fun. Seems better than Borderlands 1 in a lot of ways, but I just didn't have a co-op group, and so I kind of just fell off it and never got around to actually playing through it. But I own it.
That's
I've owned it for years.
Man. KB Mod After Dark. The three boys... playing Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
All filters come off. Brandon swearing left and right. Fuck!
Oh god.
Yeah, we'll do it on Snapchat.
Yes. Okay. We don't even load with Discord. We're just snapping like each other.
10-second clips on a Snapchat story.
He's in the text client of the game, just like, check your story.
Yeah.
With that gun.
Yeah, one of many games I have meant to play over the years. I have a very large Steam library of games that I have played for less than an hour. Many games that I have never played and I've owned for years. So I am not under the illusion anymore that I will really ever whittle that down. But that's okay. I've come to terms with it.
It's comforting to have, yet also very intimidating, because I'm feeling the same thing with mine right now.
But it's like you just have to take advantage of getting what you want. And like I buy Humble Bundles of games that I just know it's like a good value. It's a good deal. And I might only really want to play one or two games in the bundle, but I'll buy the whole bundle, you know, because I have those games forever, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I'm playing the long game. You know, me in 20 years, if I have, you know, if I have a kid and he or she wants to play some video games, I'm like, hey, guess what? You don't have to buy any video games because I got video games.
And by then it'll be, oh, he's got his retro collection ready.
Exactly. That's the thing. I got retro. What do you want, right? You want like early 2000s? You want mid 2000s? You want 20 teens, right? I got every year covered. So I'm not, yeah, we're not going to have to worry about buying games in this household because I got games.
Oh, yeah. Get a Steam machine set up.
Yeah.
So they don't have to get on your computer.
I'm playing the long game, you know?
All those Humble Bundles are going to pay off.
They really are. That's what I'm banking on. So
yeah.
You would be amazed. Well, maybe you wouldn't be amazed, but you would be, I'm shocked sometimes at the number of games I own that I don't realize I own.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So every now and then someone's like, hey, do you want to play like golf with your friends? People were playing golf with your friends, and I was like, oh, that'd be fun. And I just searched, and I owned Golf with Your Friends. So I downloaded it and played it. I didn't even realize I owned it, and it was fun.
Everyone nowadays is all caught up in cryptocurrency, but really, Brandon's like years ahead. He's been investing into Humble Bundles.
Yeah.
They're going to pay off one day.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there is no surprise and, you know, and delight like not realizing you own a game. And then you just, someone says, hey, do you want to play? And you're like, you go to the Steam page to buy the game, and it says you already own the game.
That's got to be a cool feeling, though.
That has happened more than one time. And it's like, part of me feels a little bit ashamed, but then the other part of me is like, no, this is present Brandon setting up future Brandon for those little delights. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's creepy, but I actually have done that. I go on people's like Steam profiles and I look through their game list just to see, because like I know what that feels like to have so many games that you haven't gotten around to. So, like, I just scroll. I've seen the list. It's palpable of everything just untouched. And of course, there are things like, oh, there's the Modern Warfare 3 campaign that's not been touched, but you don't really need to worry about that. It's not going to keep you up at night.
I'm pretty proud that I think, well, I mean, I guess proud in hindsight that I didn't play. I bought Modern Warfare 3. I played it. I think I want to say I have like an hour on record. Never touched it again. I made one YouTube video and I never touched it again. And so that's where like the Steam stats really come in handy, because I can screenshot that and say, look, you clowns want to talk about how much you hated Modern Warfare 3, but I bet you have hours in it. Me, I knew that game was garbage right off the bat. I played a few matches, put up one video, and I never played it again.
You got that ad money, and you dipped.
Yep.
That's so fun. Like, I'm just looking through these, and of course, you know, there are some sins. You've got Dark Souls Prepare to Die Edition, untouched.
See, look, this is I'm not proud of everything, okay? I'm not proud of the number of games I own that I intended to play and have not played. But you know what? You got to take the good with the bad.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't, that's why, you know, got to be careful who your Steam friends with, because they'll out you.
right, yeah. You know what? I'm not trying to. My intention was never to expose you.
Well, and the biggest crime of all is like some of the games that I have the most playtime in were games that either weren't on Steam or were before Steam existed. So like my Counter-Strike number is not even close to real, because most of the Counter-Strike I played was before Steam existed.
Right.
So I don't have a ton of time in CS:GO. But I have an incredible amount of time over my lifetime in Counter-Strike. And then, like, Tribes Ascend, man, Tribes Ascend wasn't on Steam until real late in the game. So I have many hours in Tribes Ascend that are just lost to history. No one will appreciate that time I spent.
Right. And I'm looking through, again, I had to do it to you. I'm looking through your Steam library, and I've got to say, I'm impressed.
Yeah?
A lot of these... You hardly have any games that have zero playtime. There are a lot of
I tend to purchase a game and then try to play it right away. I think
that's very good of you.
I think maybe one of the only games that I have not actually put any time into was Gunmetal Arcadia, which I got from the KB Mod Land last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that, I mean, it looks all right. I know it's gamertag.
I appreciate Ying and, you know, having the conviction to play what he buys. I just don't live that life.
Yeah, it's just two philosophies. Two Steam philosophies.
Right. I'll buy something because
you know
the
what,
action
you know,
of
no, hold on.
It.
You know what actually what that tells me though is that Ying is seeing these incredible Humble Bundle deals and holding back. He's being fiscally responsible, but he's missing out on some serious value.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the big thing is that you're choosing to invest. You're taking that
That's
risk.
Right.
And I'm being conservative. It's just two strategies.
Yep. I'm investing in the long term for my Steam account.
Exactly.
Oh, that reminds me. I got a Facebook memory today of me talking with someone from 6 years ago about our games on Steam. And they're like, what games do you have on Steam? And I said, Left 4 Dead 2, Killing Floor, Bully, Garry's Mod, Limbo, Portal 2, and like Call of Duty 4 and World at War, and then some other crap. And I'm like, man, I envy a time when my Steam library was so concise and full of gems. Now it's 304 games deep. What happened to you, David? What'd you do?
Hey, man, God, you have me checking my own profile now, and I'm just saying, like, tell me someone else who has almost an hour in Grand Pigeon's Duty.
I can't believe you did that.
Or 0.2 hours in There's Poop in My Soup.
I
Listen,
struggle.
It was for charity, okay? It was for an extra live stream.
No judgment here.
The fact that you even downloaded them, opened them up, is you know, is more than I can say for a lot of the games I own.
Right.
Anyway, cool. We have a couple more questions from KillerBob5 asking the important stuff. When putting away your t-shirts, do you fold them and put them inside something, or do you hang them in your closet?
Oh. I fold my t-shirts and put them in a drawer because hanger space is strictly reserved for collared shirts and suits.
That is a yingity yang answer if I've ever heard one. The question is, how many collared shirts and suits do you own?
I probably own a little over a dozen collared shirts and then two suit jackets.
Okay.
With pants, of course.
Okay. That's a good answer. I have no problem with that. I actually do. I do both. But mostly because I run out of hanger space. So I do hang up my t-shirts just because I work in a pretty casual environment, so I wear t-shirts to work most days. And so I just don't like t-shirts being wrinkled when I wear them.
Right.
But it is easy to run out of hanger space when you're hanging up t-shirts. So I sort of, I'll hang t-shirts that I intend to wear out, but then like t-shirts I'm going to wear around the house, I just fold those and put those in a drawer. So you got to mix and match.
What about you, Katie?
I put all my t-shirts and I put all my t-shirts in drawers and hang my polos, collared shirts, button ups. So,
yeah. Well, sounds like we're all more or less on the same page.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I would have so many goddamn hangers if I wanted to hang up every single t-shirt.
Yeah,
like
that's true. That's true. It does take a lot of hangers, and closet space is generally at a premium. So, I definitely have had to retire some shirts due to not having enough hangers or not having enough closet space, and I'll retire them to be, you know, folded in the closet or folded in a drawer. I mean, you gotta have a system.
Yeah, I appreciate the unity that's going on here right now, because you know that Hardballer probably hangs up his favorite t-shirts and folds some collared shirts into like a pile somewhere.
Without question.
Yeah, I worry about what his folding habits are. I don't want to think about it. Last up, question from iFlansy. He asks, if your screen name was in the dictionary, what would the definition be?
It's a good question, but I've been thinking about it for a while, and I have no clue how to even start framing an answer. I mean, actually, yours would be easy, Brian, because yours is just a word.
Mine's easy, because mine. Yeah, I mean, aside from the styling of the one instead of the I, it is a dictionary word, so it has an actual dictionary definition.
Yeah, volition. I don't think I've ever looked up the definition of volition, but I've always understood it to be like by one's own initiative. Or like,
yeah, it's like that's pretty much right. It's like momentum, you know, sort of like doing things, the act of willing, choosing, or resolving.
So that is definitive.
Yeah,
that is a hefty definition right there.
Yeah, so I don't have to guess. You can actually go look this up yourself.
Katie Zen, I feel like, would be like some sort of anglicized term for a Japanese term.
Oh, come on. There's meaning behind Katie Zen.
No, yeah, but I mean, we're looking for a dictionary definition, right? So,
right. Well, we can figure this one out. So Katie Zen was like kill death Zen. It's like probably like managing your anger in like a video game. So maybe it'd be like keeping your focus exclusively in a video game would be Katie Zen.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I can see that.
Yingity Yang. I'm kind of struggling to reach here.
The backstory of how I got my name doesn't even translate that well, because it's obviously based off of yin and yang, but that was just because I thought the symbol was cool when I was in high school. but Ying is a reference to my mother's middle name.
Okay.
And Ying in Cantonese means flower.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not really sure where to take that.
I mean, Yingity Yang, when I given what you've just said and knowing you, I feel like, you know, Yingity Yang, that's just dictionary definition could just be something like flowery boy.
I love it.
All right, yeah, you know what? Let's do it.
Why did my mind jump to that thing you put on Twitter? I don't know if you saw that, Brandon, but Ying posted this fucking ancient artifact that was found at the museum.
Really?
What?
I'm trying to find it. What? Well, I mean, I'm joking, but it was that disturbing, that doll.
Oh, God, that thing that was left in my...
Yeah, the Nutcracker. Yes. Yeah, I can only assume. It's just...
I don't even know how to begin framing this verbally, like what this creation is. You'll just have to. You'll have to investigate my Twitter if you're really interested in what this what Katie's referring to.
They know more.
It's lovely. I love the one where it's behind you and you turn around and it's not there.
It was a slow day today at the museum. All right.
Yeah. all right, we're going on a tangent. I'm gonna stop.
All right, well that's good question. I hadn't encountered that question before, but I like that one.
Yeah, it was very creative.
That was a good one, yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you for your questions.
You really turned my criticism around Katie. I was like really leaning into something. I was like, I have no idea what Katie's gonna come up with, and you actually ended up coming up with like a really good definition.
Okay.
I didn't. Is that where your name comes from? Kill Death Zen.
Yeah, because
I didn't know the real origin story there.
Well, it was like, I remember, now this is going to sound like a real kid, but my first like real online game that I really got into was Modern Warfare 2. And I know that's like way too recent, but like I had a name before that, and then I remember like I'd play something online and I'd get really, really mad. And so it was like Katie Zen. You like you get a kill, then you die, but you got to keep that Zen so you don't get frustrated. So it was like Katie Zen. It's really dumb in hindsight.
It's like,
I would
it's like
really
a reminder
to
yourself. You look at your own name and you remember you got to keep it Zen.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
That we know your real name, should we call you Killdeath? Would you prefer to go by Killdeath?
My God, call me Killdeath. Killdeath Zen. Wow, that really, I was not aware of how edgelord that sounds. Kill Death Zen. That really sounds like a
like anime villain.
I was about to say, it sounds like if I click on your Steam profile, you would have an animated anime gif.
It's me practicing the Naruto hand signs.
In the center, yeah.
Right, yeah. I'm doing like the Naruto moves in the background. You know what? I would have loved to rebrand to Ranch Boy. I think Ranch Boy is just a great name. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Katie Zen rolls off the tongue pretty nicely.
It does.
Kill Dev Zen, not so much. But I mean,
definitely not. Not Kill Dev Zen. When I say Kill Dev Zen, I feel like I need to go put on a trench coat, put my fedora on.
But see, that's why it's just the dictionary definition. Like, no one needs to. You don't need to use that in everyday language. You just use Katie Zen.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for when you're applying to a job and you have to put your full name down. You have to write Kill Dev Zen.
Yeah, that might have to exclude that. Might have to forfeit the interview. Yep.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our viewer questions. Thank you for sending those in. And this is the section where we would normally have an iTunes podcast review, but everyone is fresh out for the new year. So still looking for that iTunes review for the new year to ring us in. But you know, we did have a flurry there towards the end of the year. Lots of emphatic messages about Hardballer, so you know, I understand if people are still reeling from that episode late last year, but do get those podcast reviews in. You just go to iTunes, log into your account, and leave us 5 stars because that's what we deserve, and then leave us a message, and we might read it on the next cast. So that's going to do it for episode 308. If you want to follow KBMod, we have a website, kbmod.com. And you can find everywhere else we are from that website. But we're most active on Twitter, so I'd say follow us there if you're interested in KBMod stuff generally. Twitter.com/KBModGaming. And we've got a Discord, KBMod.com/Discord. I think also DiscordApp.com/KBMod works, but give us the referral traffic, KBMod.com/Discord. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Volition, VOL1TION. That spelling is not in the dictionary, but you'll find it, depending on the dictionary you use. We have Katie Zen. He is at Kill Death Zen.
I fucking knew it. I knew it.
You started shaking your head before Brandon even got it.
I knew it. God damn it.
Katie Zen is, he is at Katie Zen _. On all the different platforms.
Yeah.
But he will soon be changing his name
to Kill Death
Zen. Kill Death Zen. So look forward to that.
It's going to be a lot more black everywhere, a lot more blood.
Oh, yeah. New iconography.
Linkin Park.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I just think of like a MySpace page when I think of Kill Death Zen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Linkin Park on autoplay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Yangity Yang, we have at Yingity Yang. That's two Y's in the middle there. He is Yingity Yang on all the different platforms, as far as I know.
That is correct.
So that's going to do it for episode 308. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. And we will see you next time. Farewell.
Hey guys, what's up? Brandon here. And today I've got some Call of Duty gameplay for you. Now quick, guess which Call of Duty it is? Ah, I forgot. The title of the video says Modern Warfare 3, but if that title wasn't there, I bet many of you would just be like, oh, is this a new map pack for Modern Warfare 2?
Okay, I can't do this anymore.